Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. We've got preseason football action to get to. 5 o'clock pregame starts. Bills hosting the Carolina Panthers at New Era Field. Let's get some Carolina perspective here, Gino.
Yeah, I mean, it's a preseason game, but I mean, isn't this the farm team for the Buffalo Bills now between McDermott and Bean and Lotulelei?
Chris, is there anybody
Benjamin?
Left in the cupboard for Buffalo to take from Carolina? Chris McClain, Mac, host of the Mac Attack Morning Show on Sports Radio The Fan in Charlotte, joining us here in the sports bar. How are you, Chris?
Doing good. It's good to talk to the fans of our AAA affiliate there in Buffalo.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, absolutely. How has Carolina looked so far this preseason? How's training camp been, Chris?
Man, snake bit with the injuries early on. I just read a tweet from Ross Tucker from NBC. He was talking about that the Panthers and Chargers are the co-winners of the award for the most injuries he's seen before a first preseason game. I mean, two starting offensive linemen, a key guy in the defensive backfield. So that's really been the story. I mean, we're going into this thing and just praying that no other injuries happen. So that's been the story. Kelvin Benjamin's become a story. One certainly got us all cranked up here in Charlotte as well.
Well, okay, so the Benjamin comments, is he right?
I mean, the source is what I can't handle. Like, if you want to say, and I'm a huge Cam fan, I mean, obviously you guys, it's not going to shock you guys, you know, being here in Charlotte. But if you want to say he's inaccurate, I mean, I don't think, you know, there's certainly some inaccuracies there if you look at the completion percentage. But the source that this is coming from is just cracking us up. This is a guy that here in Charlotte was seen as a chronic underachiever. Big dude, has all this physical ability, never put it all together, didn't run routes particularly well, didn't block particularly well, was lazy often, dropped a lot of easy passes. That's another irony. The guy wants someone to put it on the money. Well, he would always make the crazy, insane, reaching up high catch, and then Cam would put it on the money between the numbers, and he'd drop it. It's just, we could not believe what we were hearing, because this is a guy, and you guys know what's going on there. He's playing for a contract up there.
Right.
He wants to compare himself to other guys in that 2014 receiving class. They've either all got their money, and Odell Beckham Jr. is about ready to get it or deserves to get it from somebody. And he's over there probably trying to fight for a contract. So it seemed like someone who didn't have any self-awareness, who is blaming others for the problems he's had in his career rather than looking inward. And but I will say this, y'all being in the radio business, you understand that. I should send him some sort of gift package for the few hours of radio that he gave us.
Well,
you know?
Mac, we talked to one of your coworkers there at the Fan, Frank Garcia, last offseason.
Yeah.
I think it was during OTAs. And this is Frank talking about Kelvin Benjamin before OTAs, how he reported to OTAs last year.
As far as Kelvin Benjamin, you were very nice. He's a fat ass. And unfortunately, and listen, there's no easy way to sugarcoat that. He's 275 pounds plus, and you come in out of shape, that's on you as a player. And everybody making excuses, you wanted to blame the Panthers. Kelvin Benjamin needs to lose some weight, and there's two things we can control of that as athletes. One's our attitude, the other one's our effort, and both of them suck right now for him.
That was last offseason. That was before he became
right.
A Buffalo. That's what we inherited,
yeah.
Gene.
It's funny because I'm pretty sure Frank called me a fat ass a couple days ago, actually. But and I forgot to throw that one in. Yeah, you had the weight problems. And by the way, those weight problems went back to Florida State. It took him a couple of years to really get involved there because he was overweight. He does not take things seriously, man. He's a professional now. There's a lot at stake financially for him. And I think this dude, if he doesn't start looking at, hey, in the mirror, what can I do better? I think he's going to, screw himself out of a lot of money because he has ability. It's weird, though. We had Steve Tasker on today down here in Charlotte on the radio, and he was kind of talking positively about him. What What do y'all, like, what is the Buffalo feeling on this dude right now?
I think it's just by comparison, the Bills receiving core is just so bad on the whole that he looks good compared to what's around him.
He looks good. And his size is undeniable. I mean, you see him compared to the other options at wide receiver for the Bills, and he looks like he should be the number one target, the guy that is going to potentially go up and get it. And for, you know, him complaining about Cam Newton being inaccurate, I mean, part of his physicality and part of what he brings to the table is, hey, you have the ability to go up and get it. He didn't have to be as accurate as you want him to be.
Well, yeah, that's ironic, too. He was brought in because we wanted this big catch radius, right? They brought in Devin Funchess right after him. You know, they brought in these two big guys because, yeah, Cam can get a little wild, throw a little high. And Benjamin made so many of those catches. He made a catch, I'll never forget, on a ball Cam threw about 40 yards downfield. He went up between Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas, and he's the one that came down with it. That is unbelievable. And he will make those plays. And then all of a sudden, it'll be the simple, easy ones, and he won't make it. Or he'll end up with a penalty the next possession because he held trying to block because he's not blocking fundamentally sound. And he did. Frank's right about the attitude. He bitched and moaned one time, got himself benched, bitched and moaned more in a game against the Raiders. It's just, man, there's something there in that dude, but these comments would make me worry that, like, he hasn't reflected and decided, hey, I'm going to take control of my fate in this league. It seems like he's still trying to pass the buck, you know?
He's the host of the Mac Attack on Sports Radio, The Fan in Charlotte. Chris McClain, a.k.a. Mac, our guest here. As far as Cam Newton not responding to that, I mean, Cam Newton, an athlete that has had a lot of cringeworthy moments throughout his career, but did that play well that he's just down in Charlotte, that he's not even going to engage in a war of words here with his former receiver?
I think he's definitely maturing, you know, and I'm not going to say Cam's rate of maturing, you know, has been the same as other quarterbacks in the league. You know, there's been some growth, you know, taking some time, but I think that's part of a sign of it. I will say this, though, let's not complete pat him on the back and say, man, you really showed restraint. The very next practice in camp, he was heard yelling stuff out so the media could hear him, very passive-aggressive stuff, like, I'm just over here working on my accuracy today. That's what I'm supposed to do. Things like that. He had a couple of moments in that practice, the very next practice on Sunday, where he kind of, you could tell he was taking some passive-aggressive digs. But there is no doubt he, you know, he pretty much took the high road on that. I think that's probably a good sign. Although one of the things we've been talking about this week is, like, how will his teammates respond? Like, they've all taken the high road this week. Well, I wouldn't mind seeing someone tonight, you know, give him the business, whether it's, hey, he comes over the middle, you hit him, you know, legally, but you hit him hard. Or if somebody's got a message for him at some point, like, I wouldn't mind seeing that the players have Cam's back. And it seems like they've been very, you know, kind of lackadaisical about it.
What do you think about that, Mac? As part of me says, yeah, that you don't want to give them bulletin board material. But the other part of me says, you know, it's week one of the preseason. These guys don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get injured. They're, you know, it's not good football. And I didn't even know that it would really be a story going into tonight's game. Still, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Cam and Benjamin somehow meet at midfield before the game and give each other a pound.
That's the thing, too. We talked about that. Is that possible? Cam has kind of shown, I mean, it would take a big man, I think, to go, unless they've talked, unless they've aired it out here previously during the week, although I know Benjamin, you know, over the weekend said he didn't have any plans to contact Cam or anything like that. But, you know, that would show maturity of Cam if he was willing to kind of suck it up and do that. I will say this, though. You know how we do, you know how our fans roll. You know how we do it as football fans. We get fired up, even though it's a preseason game. Our text line today had all kind of suggestions, like, Cam should just beeline for the sideline and run him over. Cam should drop back in the pocket and gun the ball at Benjamin's head at the sideline. Although if he missed, it would prove Benjamin's point. So I don't know if that would work out. But, like, so we as fans could end up really disappointed in Charlotte if they just hug it out, you know, after the game or something.
Yeah, it makes an otherwise preseason. More often than not, preseason games are not worthy of storylines. We got a few tonight here. Star Lotulelei making his Bills debut tonight. I mean, what kind of player are the Bills getting here, Mac? And I mean, I guess it kind of begs a question. Why didn't Carolina keep him around? That's always the other half of this, is that if he was all that, why didn't the Panthers make a better offer?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely good at that role, at that nose tackle role up front, you know, occupying the blockers and letting his linebackers run free. I mean, he's going to do that for you. He's going to do the dirty work in the trenches. There will be occasional, you know, moments of disruption in the backfield. But I just think the Panthers, you know, they weren't in a great cap situation. They had to let Andrew Norwell walk as well, who was an all-pro guard. So they weren't in a great cap situation. I think the money got a little too high for them. They did end up spending similar money, a little bit less, but similar money on Dontari Poe, who to me feels like he gives you a little more in terms of disruption, you know. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing that on the field this year. But, I mean, Starla Toulé is going to be the quiet. He's going to be the opposite of Kelvin Benjamin attitude-wise. He's just going to shut the heck up. He's going to do his job. He doesn't need any glory. I mean, he played next to Kawan Short, who's one of the best young D tackles in the league. And everybody just talked about the plays Short was making, and Star at times would draw a double team and Short would make a play because of it. And I mean, he's just going to be a great teammate. He's going to, you know, shut the heck up, not cause any problems. There might not be a ton of splash plays. Like at some point fans might be like, what the heck are we paying him for? But that role that I'm sure McDermott knows he can play, you know, just that big nose tackle, he's going to play that well.
Mac, we are intrigued by Christian McCaffrey and some of the preseason predictions of how many touches he could actually see this year. I don't know. Some of them feel like they might be a little bit out of whack or a little bit higher expectations than should be allowed for a guy of his size. But he has bulked up, I hear, this offseason. What do we know about the second-year running back for Carolina?
Yeah, I feel like Ron Rivera and North Turner might be messing with the minds of some fantasy football players who are trying to figure out, where do I draft McCaffrey? I don't know if I'd buy into the 25 to 30 touch thing, which Ron said, North kind of backed him on it. I mean, I love McCaffrey. I wanted them to draft him really badly. He needs to run the ball from scrimmage better. He needs to run it in between the tackles better than he did last year. But I feel like he got better. Second half of the year, averaged about 4.7 yards carry. First half was about 3 yards a carry. I think he's going to get an increased role, but I think it would be a mistake if they didn't give C.J. Anderson, you know, 10 carries or so in his own right per game. That's a guy that can give you, you know, they can be that thunder and lightning tandem, you know, and Anderson can bring you that power back. So I'd like to see a bit of a timeshare there. But I will say this, McCaffrey also, I mean, let's face it, he had 80 catches last year. So, I mean, he could get 5-6 touches a game, 7 touches a game in the pass game as well. But, yeah, the whole getting up to 25 and 30, you know, unless you plan on using him in the return game, maybe you can get there. That definitely seemed a little high to me, but I'm expecting him to run it better from scrimmage. Did put on some weight. I mean, just looks completely rocked, you know, and ready to run. So I think you'll get a better performance from him as a runner, but I don't know if you're playing fantasy and thinking, I'll take McCaffrey here. He's going to get 30 touches. I don't know if I believe all that.
Mac, we know what an ownership change is like up here in Buffalo. In fact, the team had a little bit of a gap there, but things have, you know, really stabilized with the Pegulas coming in. What's going on down there with the Panthers and the new ownership? And, you know, what do you see as the future now moving forward with this big change?
Oh, we're on cloud nine, man. We are on cloud nine. David Tepper David Tepper said something about himself in the past, like in an article we read before he became the owner. And he said, I'm just a regular guy who happens to be worth $11 billion. And you thought about it, and you're like, how is this possible? You know, I mean, like, you're not a regular guy. How is that possible? And he showed up here. I mean, he showed up to his opening press conference, had like 3 buttons undone, looked sloppy as hell up there. He's a little overweight. He's balding. He's cracking jokes about himself, not having any hair. And then you see him show up at camp on the sidelines. He's dancing. Cam Newton's dancing on the field, and he starts doing the dance on the sidelines. This really is a dude that grew up in Pittsburgh, grew up in a family that, you know, was lower middle class, I think at best, is living out his dream owning a football team. You know, he owned 5% of the Steelers and loved that. And I think now he's got a team that's all his. I think he's just giddy as all get out. And you just look at this guy as a contrast to what we had in Jerry Richardson, who, you know, even before you find out the creepy crap that he was up to behind the scenes that we didn't know about with the female employees, was a guy that was not going to, you know, entertain you, was not, I mean, I think he held like 2 press conferences in his whole tenure of owning the team for 20 plus years. And now you've got this guy that is a bit of a card, a bit like he was singing Elvis on the Panthers.com website. He's belting out doing an Elvis impression. It's just a breath of fresh air. And the guy is a winner in life. I mean, hedge fund guy, one of the best, you know, in that industry, second richest owner in the NFL. He succeeded. He loves football. So we're excited about it. We'll see. I'm sure it's not all going to be peaches and cream. And he has completely backed Rivera and Marty Herney in the football operation. He comes from that Steeler background where they've had, 3 or 4 coaches in X amount of years.
Yeah.
So I don't sense he's in a hurry to make a lot of football operation changes either.
And Chris McClain, Mac, host of the Mac Attack Morning Show on Sports Radio, The Fan in Charlotte, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Mac, you've been great with your time. Before we let you go, just give us a general expectation for the Carolina Panthers in 2018. Is this a playoff team? Is this a Super Bowl team? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a playoff team, Super Bowl. I think the offensive line, you know, you lose a couple of guys. Offensive line was already the biggest question mark here. You lost an all-pro guard in Norwell. So Super Bowl in an NFC that is loaded up, that feels a little lofty for me. It does feel like a playoff team. They've hit the playoffs for the last 5 years. It feels like they've developed some consistency here with Rivera and Cam and Luke. And I would say playoff, maybe wild card behind the Saints. I hate picking the damn Saints to win it, but that would be my guess if I had to put money on it.
Chris McClain, Mac, host of Mac Attack on Sports Radio, The Fan in Charlotte. You've been great with your time, Chris. Appreciate it. Enjoy. Well, we'll be reminded soon enough. It is a preseason
game.
And
I'm feeling we'll talk to Mac again if the Bills decide that they want to go back up to the parent club and grab something to bring down to the AAA affiliate. Is that correct, Mac?
Oh, man, I'll tell you this. We got one of our producers is a diehard Bills fan. He's from there originally. And we don't want to hear about the Bills, and he just is telling us about the Bills constantly. I mean, we may send him to you guys.
Yeah, why are we talking to you? Why aren't we talking to him?
You should. You would have had a great time. You wouldn't have had any of these damn smart-ass remarks about Kelvin Benjamin.
Mac, it's great talking to you. Great having you on with us here in the Sports Bar. Look forward to doing it again real soon. Be well, all right, my friend?
All right, guys. Be good.
You got it. Chris McClain. Mac, he is the host of the Mac Attack Morning Show on Sports Radio, The Fan in Charlotte. You can listen via radio.com if you so desire. That was awesome. Nice little preview. Nice little view from Carolina.
It's a little bit of a taste there, apparently. Kelvin Benjamin's public enemy number one. How should Cam Newton throw the ball at his head tonight?
That's good.
Well, if this was old-time football, yes, you know, you need the defender to give him a little hit there before. Well, he does bring up a good point, though. If it's your quarterback, are you obligated? Or if that quarterback really has the room, do you do something?
I will still say this. I mean, anybody in Charlotte are going to hear what Kelvin Benjamin say and get pissed off about it and defend their quarterback. Outside of Charlotte, I think everybody hears the comment and says, he's not wrong. He's wrong for saying it. It's not the time and place to say it. Coach McDermott has every right to put him in his place for saying what he said. But what he said isn't inaccurate. He's on. I mean, Cam's a little immature, a little inaccurate, a little bit of a clown. So what Benjamin said wasn't wrong.
The story, though, of the Cam Newton passive-aggressive behavior.
Yeah,
does that not tell you everything you need to know?
We're dealing with a couple of children is what it tells me. We're dealing with two children is what it tells me. And then Cam is matured. All right, I'll believe that when I see it. It's the same Cam Newton that thinks that the Titanic didn't sink. What was the comment that he made in the press conference? Didn't he say, the
Titanic has to go on. Yeah.
Right.
You know, we're only going to get better. You know, he's taken that leadership role, grabbed it by the horn and told everybody in that position room, this is what we got to do. These are our expectations. Nobody's even, you know, given us an opportunity. You know, yeah, we just lost a great player, but nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
Oh. Okay, so okay, that's an extreme example of mixing your metaphors. I have more of a problem when he talks down to a female reporter.
Yes.
I mean, we could pull out a dozen examples of Cam Newton cringeworthy moments.
Just being a clown.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll say what Benjamin said. I don't really have a problem with it. I don't think he's that off. You just don't say it. Not to the media, not publicly. Not a good look. Not the right time and place. All right, we've got to get to NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. We've still got shots on the way as we all lead up to 5 o'clock and pregame for Bills Panthers from New Era Field. We'll be joining network coverage then at 5 o'clock, so stay with us. You're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Looking for the best-sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.